Well, it's good to see everyone tonight. I'm glad that I'm able to bring the Word of God to you tonight, and it's always like everyone's over here because all the kids are over here, so I'll try to concentrate by looking at you all over there. The message I'm going to be bringing tonight is a message and a teaching on part of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's partially a teaching that I had done about a month ago, or a little bit more ago, at the Adventures Camp for the kids, and I did not bring that message very well, and I felt very badly about that for a long time. And so it's not about me, it's about God's Word and the justice or injustice. I did do it that night by not completely giving the full message that I had planned to give, and that was my fault. So tonight, I'm going to try to, I was going to say redeem myself, but I've already been redeemed, amen? I'm going to try to redeem that message and redeem God's Word and to honor God in the right way by giving this to you. So some of you out there I know went to the Adventures Camp, and so you will recognize maybe parts of this, but I am going to be able to, I think, give it in its entirety, and it'll flow a lot better. So how many people were at the Adventures Camp that heard me that night? Okay, it's about half of you. Anyhow, this is a really convicting, I found it to be a really convicting study as I was preparing this and spent a lot of time preparing, as all of the elders do, but really convicting because if you can't live it, you really can't preach it. And so it's very difficult. So the topic, or one of the fruits that I'll be teaching on, is gentleness. And it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, and it's described in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And I'm just going to read those verses, 22 and 23 from Galatians 5, just to sort of set the stage a little bit. And I'll just read them to you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so I actually read there down through 24. So the specific one that I'll be teaching on tonight is gentleness, right between faithfulness and self-control there at the end. So anyhow, tonight, if you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, one of the characteristics of the true believer's life is that he or she is gentle. It also should be no surprise that gentleness is an attribute our Savior exhibited here on earth and is a characteristic or attribute we find of God throughout the Bible, not just in his dealings with Israel, but also with New Testament believers like ourselves. So today we will look at what it means for a believer to be gentle. And we'll look at how we are to be gentle and who are we to be gentle with. And I'll get into that in a moment. But first, like many studies or teachings, let's examine the word gentle as it's used in the context of this verse. So first of all, we find that there are two English translations of the Greek word here. One is gentleness and the other is meekness. And the most accurate translations and probably the most popular translations translate this word as gentleness. And so all of them do, except for two, such as the King James Version and the American Standard Version. And they translate it as meekness. So therefore, I'm going to proceed tonight and speak of gentleness throughout my teaching, but at times I will refer to verses and talk about meekness as well, as the English translation of those two words almost mean the same thing to us. So I'll try to create a distinction there between the two. So what does the word gentleness not mean? So before we get started, we have to understand what we're talking about here, and sometimes the best way to do that is to define what a word does not mean first. Okay, so find out what we're not talking about. So in these verses in Galatians, when we talk about gentleness, we are not talking about weakness. Okay, so when we think of gentle, sometimes we think of the word that rhymes with meek, which is weak. And we tend to draw pictures of little old ladies, meek and mild, that can barely move around. And we don't ever think of anything else sometimes other than that. If someone is very meek, then they're very mild and they're very weak and sort of soft-spoken and all of these things. And we'll find out that the Scripture does not describe meek that way at all. So do you ever think about a soldier being meek? Would a soldier have to be meek in order to be a good soldier? Well, every image that we're given in books and on TV and everything else have soldiers as bold and courageous and charging ahead, and they're not meek at all, right? At least they don't seem to be very meek. And so there's a description that, as a quote, rather, that General Dwight D. Eisenhower, Commander-in-Chief of Allied Forces in World War II, gave. And, of course, you knew I would have to bring something military into this. Every sermon I give has to bring in military somehow. So it goes without saying, so you should be expecting it for every time I come up here. But he made this quote here, and he's describing somebody, some soldiers that are meek. And he says here, "I would say that most leaders are made. A fellow that comes from a long line of ancestors with determination and courage has no doubt inherited some sort of leadership qualities. I've seen many times in combat where someone who was small and meek was given the opportunity and had leadership you never before realized he had, and he becomes a Medal of Honor winner. There are some qualities you inherit that make you a good leader, but many who have not these qualities develop them or just seem to come up with them when the opportunity knocks." And so I believe General Eisenhower was talking about one of the most decorated soldiers in World War II, and his name was Audie Murphy, who went on to win 24 military medals for valor, including the Congressional Medal of Honor, and was the most decorated soldier ever in the history of the United States. Murphy originally tried to join the Marines at the beginning of World War II, but was turned down for being too short. He was 5'5" and only weighed 112 pounds, so he went to the Army, and they turned him down too, and he went back to the Army a year later, and they accepted him. And so, anyhow, this is the stature, and this is the attitude of the man who was the most effective, one of the men who was most effective in battle, that he was meek, and his stature didn't have anything to do with his meekness or his success. So how often does man pick men as examples to follow that are proud, loud, and boastful? So a spirit opposite of gentleness is what the world is after, and it's telling you to be the same way. If you're going to fit in or if you'll ever be liked, it's telling you that you shouldn't be meek and you shouldn't be gentle, right? But that's not what the Bible says. And so there are many examples from the Bible that we can draw on, and I'll give you some about meek men in the Bible and whether or not they were good leaders. And so here's a picture of a very meek man. And Numbers 12:3 says, "Now the man Moses was very meek, above all the men which were among upon the face of the earth." So Moses had to teach a bunch of completely ignorant and stubborn people about God's nature and plan for them. Moses had to repeatedly confront the Pharaoh with a demand that God gave him, which was to let his people go. Under Moses' leadership, most of the land east of the Jordan was conquered and given to the tribes of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh. Moses led the horde of former slaves through 40 years in the wilderness of Sinai, overcoming tremendous obstacles, shaping them into a nation. Moses ascended Mount Sinai, where there was constant thunder and fire and earthquakes, and received the Ten Commandments. Now, does that sound like a weak man? No, he was meek, but he wasn't weak. He was very strong. He was successful in part because he was meek. And, of course, the ultimate example of someone who was meek and gentle yet not weak, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll look at depth into Christ's life a little bit further. But next, let's look into what the word gentleness means. So now you know what gentleness doesn't mean, right? Doesn't mean weak. So what does gentleness mean? And according to Spyros Zodiades, in his work, The Complete Word Study Dictionary, gentleness is the grace which pervades the whole human nature, mellowing all which would be harsh, likened to the harmlessness of a dove. So Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language defines gentleness in one way as meekness, Okay, so I turned a few more pages and found this definition for meekness, which states, appropriately humble, in an evangelical sense, submissive to the divine will, not proud, self-sufficient, or refractory, which means headstrong. Being meek is not headstrong. Not peevish, means not having a bad temper, and apt to complain of divine dispensations, God's allowances, things that he brings into our life. So Christ says in Matthew 11:29, and we'll come back to this verse later, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So lowly of heart, in the King James Version, if someone is lowly of heart, it doesn't mean that they're sad, and it doesn't mean that they're weak. It means that they're humble. Okay? So gentleness or meekness is hard to define without defining what it isn't, even in these definitions of what it is. So we find that it's a hard thing to define. So we just want to make sure you understand that it doesn't mean weak or sad. Jerry Bridges, a popular Christian author, distinguishes the two, gentleness and meekness, in the same way as the Greek writers do. Gentleness is an active trait describing the manner in which we should treat others. Meekness is a passive trait describing the proper Christian response when others mistreat us. And if you take any notes tonight, or just take a mental note, that is a really, I agree with him, that's a really good way to remember those things, and a really great way to remember how we should speak to people and how we should respond to people. And no one's saying that it's easy to do that. It's definitely hard. And this message wasn't just for kids who tend to have a hard time responding to each other. If you have kids, you know you have to correct them. Speaking for our own kids, we have to correct them. And when they don't speak in gentleness to someone and the other person does not speak in meekness back, if they've not been spoken in a very godly way. And so it's not just for adults either. It's also for elders. It's also for deacons. It's for all Christians, no matter what your place, no matter what your office, no matter how old you are. This is a lesson. This is something we need to think about in how we speak with people and how we respond to them. So gentleness or meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. It stems from trust in God's goodness and control over the situation. The gentle person is not occupied with self at all. This is a work of the Holy Spirit, not the human will. Gentleness also means tenderness. It's a characteristic of God and does not imply weakness. David said of God in 2 Samuel, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." It was also a characteristic of the Apostle Paul. He told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians, "We were gentle among you." And so such gentleness, however, is not lacking in conviction. It allows for indignation, that is, being upset over a righteous cause, when appropriate. As you know, Christ turned the money changers' tables over in the temple, who had made his father's house into a den of thieves. Right? You can all picture that. You've heard that story probably many times. He had the right to do that, right? He's God, correct? So it wasn't a necessary roughness that he went in there and turned over the tables and chased everyone out of there. It was a righteous anger, and I don't think he was asking permission and being all mild and weak and all soft and saying, "Excuse me, do you mind if I turn over your table?" Okay? He did make a whip. He did not make a whip, I should say, out of soft cotton cords with a velvet dingle balls on the end, and gently tap the sheep and oxen on the shoulders to kind of get them to scooch out the door. No, he made a whip of very strong cords and drove them all out of the temple, both man and beast. I wish I could have seen that, because Christ was not proud that he did that. He did not have pride in that sense, that he was self-righteous in the way that he was God and could do that, or that he was somehow very important. Was he somehow cruel to the money changers and the animals in the temple? No, of course not. He could not have been cruel. Jesus could move people and animals with whips and cords and not be cruel, which is an amazing thing to think about. How do I know that? Because cruelty is not an attribute of God. And therefore, he drove them out without being cruel. So I don't know if we could do that, but he did, because his nature is both God and man fully, and his zeal and passion for his father's house had consumed him. He was meek as he does these things, and so he was purposeful as well and full of conviction. Okay, so we have a hard time reconciling that in our minds until, of course, we understand and recognize the fact that he's both God and man and can do that. So gentleness is a graciousness we offer to others in words and deeds, letting it exemplify our lives as Christians. Gentleness is an attribute we ought to express in our lives. People, and not just those at church, should be able to say by observing our lives that we are gentle people. Okay, and when we respond with a kind word, when we are treated harshly, we are showing a spirit of meekness. Okay, so just imagine if everyone in your whole family was gentle with each other to start with, you would never have to be meek. Okay, but since we're human and a lot of times we sin, we have to be both, right? You would have the whole thing together if you could just master these things, and we need God's help. God help us. Okay, so remember, it's your responsibility to act towards others in gentleness and to react to others in meekness. So don't blame yourselves for a lack of meekness. I'm sorry, don't blame others. Blame yourself for a lack of meekness. Okay, Christ is our example. Let's look at some scriptures that demonstrate Christ's meekness and gentleness so that we might learn from him. Okay, the master and teacher of gentleness and meekness. The first one that we come to in scripture is the one, 2 Samuel 22:36. And David says there, "You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great." This was David's reaction to being delivered from Saul's hand. David attributed the beginning, continuance, and increase in well-doing only to God's favor by God's gentleness in dealing with him. God is a gentle teacher. Thank God he's a gentle teacher. And thank God he is gentle with us, right? There's a lot of times, I'm speaking for myself, times that we mess up, and praise God that he is gentle and doesn't just destroy us on the spot. And so he is very gentle, and he's kind to us, and he's tender to us, and he leads us by the hand, and he corrects us because he loves us. And in Hosea 11:4, Hosea speaks of God as God speaks of his beloved Israel and says, "I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them." So here's a picture of gentleness that God treated Israel with. The memory of God's unspeakable goodness and gentleness towards Israel in the days of their spiritual darkness and weakness ought to keep us very humble and very near to God. And then if we look over at James 3:17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Everyone has a clear idea of the virtue of gentleness, a gentleness of spirit, and everyone can see that it is the appropriate spirit of a true Christian. So the spirit of gentleness comes from above. It comes from God, the giver of all wisdom. So as we move into the New Testament, it should be no wonder that Christ is described as one who is gentle and meek. After all, Christ is God the Son, and whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does. So if the Bible describes God as gentle, then of course the Son will also be gentle. So in Matthew 21:5, we read of the prophet Isaiah, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and riding upon an ass, upon a colt of the foal of an ass." So here the prophet Isaiah declares Christ is meek as he prophesies of his future triumphant entry into Jerusalem as the spiritual Messiah or deliverer of the Jews, not as a political or military figure at all, who might come in riding on a white charger or some kind of armored war horse or something like that, but instead he came riding in on a little donkey. That's got to be about as meek of an entrance as you can have. And in Matthew 11:29, it quotes Jesus saying to his followers, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So here Jesus himself declares that he is gentle. And if we are to find rest for our souls, we are to take his yoke upon us and learn from him. And so whoever therefore does not find rest for their souls is not meek and lowly. If a person is discontented as a follower of Jesus Christ, the fault is not in the yoke of Christ, that they have put on, but the fault is in the person who has not taken the yoke upon themselves with the right attitude, lacking meekness. It is impossible for anyone to be discontented except through a lack of meekness or lowliness, okay? Which is sin. Does everyone know what a yoke is? I think everyone does. It's the collar that goes around the neck of an ox or a cow, and that cords or other implements are attached to that go back to a plow, or it could be hooked up to a grinding mill, but it's sort of the shoulder brace that goes on a beast of burden in that way. Okay? And so the rabbis in Jesus' time used the term yoke for school. You were learning if kids are going back into school now, you need to tell them you need to put your yoke back on, you're heading back to school. And they'll look at you funny because they don't understand what that means, obviously. But for many kids, they probably think school is like a yoke in the sense that it's a burden around their neck, and it's like pulling a heavy load going back to school and gasping for water, and they want a break and everything else. But Jesus offers a refreshment in his school of truth and righteousness and righteous living, and promises to make the burden light, for he is meek and a humble teacher. So if we wear that yoke in the right attitude and take it on in the right way, we will find rest for our souls, because Christ is a meek teacher. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence I am lowly among you, but being absent I am bold towards you. So here Paul is testifying that Christ is both gentle and meek, and that he himself is trying to convey in writing that his attitude toward the Corinthians is both gentle and meek, like Christ, while at the same time being bold when he's away. Don't you hate it when you write a letter and it's totally misinterpreted, and you had a meek spirit or whatever, and then it gets totally read the wrong way, and maybe perhaps it would be better if you just write in the beginning, I'm writing to you in a spirit of meekness, and so on, so that would be conveyed in the right way. I think a lot of times people read into things, so it also doesn't help if you type things in all capital letters. So keep the font size below 12. All right. Anyhow, the last verse I'm going to share with you that shows Christ's meekness and gentleness is Mark 10:4. Here Christ's gentleness was demonstrated when he picked up little children, blessed them, and said, "Permit the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." So Christ's actions through his life continuously demonstrated his gentleness. He was gentle with his disciples, his followers, with sinners. Yet he was also purposeful and truthful in all that he did. That doesn't mean he was harsh at all. Yet the Jews and others were angry at him because of his holiness, and his holiness exposed their sin. So just because you believe you are being gentle and meek in a situation, don't think that you will never have a negative reaction. You might reduce the negative reactions, but don't think you'll ever always escape that. Jesus was meek and gentle all the way to the cross, was he not? And we should be too, all the way carrying our cross to our death. Since Jesus was and is the standard how a Christian should be meek and gentle, we find in the apostles, mainly Paul in the New Testament, commanding and encouraging us as followers of Jesus Christ to be imitators of him in every way, including his meekness and gentleness. So let's look at some verses that demonstrate and even command that we should live our lives with gentleness and meekness. So the Apostle Paul exhorts those in Colossae, in Colossians 3:12-13, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do." Those who are the elect of God, holy and beloved, ought to conduct themselves in everything as becomes a Christian, and so as not to lose the credit of their imparted holiness, nor the comfort of their being chosen and beloved. It becomes those who are holy towards God to be lowly and loving towards all men. Look at what we must put on in particular in that verse. We must have meekness towards those who have provoked us or who have injured us. We must not give way to sin and fall into Satan's trap and resent what God has willed in our lives, but we must be prudent and control our anger and patiently bear the anger of others, a very difficult thing to do without the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay? In James 1, 18 through 21, James preaches to the Jewish believers on how they are to receive the word. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the imparted word, which is able to save your souls. So the phrase there, and receive with meekness, that is, open the mind and heart to instruction and to the influence of truth. Meekness and gentleness are always required in receiving spiritual instruction if you are to obtain any knowledge of any kind at all. So the proud never receive instruction and they never receive knowledge. Do you find that you aren't growing in your spiritual life, that you aren't learning anything new or any new truth? You might want to take a look at your attitude during the time teachers at church are trying to teach you, or in other places where teachers are trying to teach you. It may be that you are thinking proud thoughts like, I already know all of this, or how embarrassing, I'm too old to be taught this. Okay? This is the kind of meekness attitude that will prevent you from receiving the word into your heart. So you have to have a heart that is open and full of meekness to receive the word. That goes for the unsaved as well. They're in the same boat. They can't receive the word unless they come to Christ with a meek attitude to receive it. And we find that meekness is also a sign of wisdom. James goes on to say in James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. True wisdom may be known by the meekness of the Spirit. It is a great sign of wisdom to control your own anger and patiently bear the anger of others. And as wisdom will evidence itself in meekness, so meekness will evidence itself in wisdom, for nothing hinders solid judgment and impartial fair thought necessary to our acting wisely so much as improper passion and anger. When we are mild and calm, we are best able to hear reason and best able to speak it. Wisdom produces meekness, and meekness increases wisdom. Okay? So let's look at 1 Peter and see what Peter says of the kind of spirit God finds precious. So in 1 Peter 3:3-5, Peter says to women, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Rather, let it be hidden in the person of the heart when the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. And that's a passage of scripture I really like a lot. So you men out there should also pay attention to these verses. Peter isn't just talking to women here. After all, if holy women who adorned their hearts with the incorruptible truth and spiritual beauty, and who have the incorruptible beauty of a spirit of gentleness, are precious to God, they should also be precious to us, should they not? And so we ought to cherish them for that. Okay? And so when your boys are at the right age to look for a wife, take them back to these verses and really study them and go through them. Other than looking for a Christian girl, which is, of course, probably the requirement that first be met, looking for a girl, Christian girl with meekness is the next greatest quality you would probably want to find for your son and a wife. Okay? So anyhow, little tip there. Peter also commands us how to respond to those who question our faith. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So when people approach us and ask us about our faith, and we are to give a defense of it, that we should be able to respond in meekness and fear. We're to answer without any spirit of frustration, with gentleness of manner. And this seems to be added to the idea that we sometimes might be rudely assailed Okay, that questions to us might be proposed in a spirit of meanness or insincerity, that it might be done in a taunting or insulting manner. So even though this could be done to you, you are not to fall into anger or frustration, or to manifest resentment, or to reply in a revengeful manner. But in a calm, gentle spirit, you are to state the reasons of your faith and hope and leave the matter there. God will do the rest. But how hard is that sometimes, huh? Because we are sometimes, unfortunately, relying on ourselves. And so we just need to respond in meekness. That doesn't mean you need to be stepped on or whatever, or abused in any sort of physical sense like that. But we do need to respond with a meek attitude, because you know what? It's God that does the work in their hearts, and only He can open their hearts to the truth. Well, they will understand it and accept it. And it's always something I have to remind myself of, because we're fearful as humans. Even elders are fearful to be rejected. And so everyone's human, and no one likes to be rejected. That's just a fact. Okay? And so it's something that, you know, if you're planning to share with somebody that is unsaved, and it might be a tough case, and you're going to the Lord in prayer and asking Him to help you, and just pray that you can respond to their questions and give the gospel and respond in being meek and being gentle with them. Okay? Paul tells us how we are to treat those who have fallen into sin. In Galatians 6:1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So we are to restore the brother who is in sin with a spirit of gentleness. And so this verse is just not talking about someone who has fallen into some minor sin, as if there's such a thing, but includes the way members of the church are to be treated, considering the church discipline process, if ever that has to be used. The process of eventually putting someone out of the church, unfortunately, of unrepented sin, they are dealt with in a very gentle manner. That's the way the elders are supposed to deal with them. And if you have an offense or something against someone, that's the way you need to deal with them too. You need to be gentle with them. Okay? So gentleness doesn't change, even though the object is still restoration of that person, right? You're trying to come to an understanding. You're trying to get them to repent. You're praying that the Holy Spirit does the work in their lives and in their hearts. And so restoration is really the goal there. And part of that restoration on your part is to be gentle. So this is something we have to remember. And that means that we are not to treat them harshly and without gentleness. So if we're putting them out of the church and not associating with them, there is a gentle way to do that. Okay? Paul in Ephesians 4:2 speaks about how we are to treat other believers. Okay? And this is probably more practical, since we are around other believers most often. We are to treat other believers with all lowliness and gentleness. That's from Ephesians 4:2, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Okay? So Paul also speaks how we are to speak of unbelievers as well. So we're treating others in gentleness, but we also need to speak of others in gentleness as well. And so in Titus 3:2, he writes, "To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." And in Philippians 4:5, he says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Boy, is this a hard one. I've got to admit that I think speaking or acting out towards someone in like gentleness and then speaking about someone in gentleness are two different things. And it's a very hard thing to do sometimes, because in your mind, sometimes you're thinking you have to even the score. And so you're going to just speak of somebody. You might have treated them gentle, but maybe you have a temptation to sin where you're not so gentle when you speak of them. And so can you really show gentleness when speaking of others, even evil men who have offended you? I really think it's better to hold your tongue and not to bring up those who have been offensive to you, because it's almost impossible not to speak unflattering, harsh things about them as we hide behind the excuse that it's the truth. I'm just being truthful. Okay? Or sometimes we speak gentle, soft darts of poison, like, "I hope so-and-so gets run over by a pretty little cement dump truck painted pink and light blue. However, if someone else brings up something of someone who has caused us harm, we are to speak in true, gentle terms, showing humbleness, saying, probably a better way to say things would be, I hope so-and-so draws nearer to God, and I need to pray for them. Okay? And that's probably all we need to say. Okay? That would be probably more appropriate. So in this way, our meekness will be known to everyone, to all men, and that brings glory to God. So let God be the judge. That's what the Lord is at hand means. God will be the judge. We need to be gentle. The Holy Spirit will help us hold our tongues if we turn to God when tempted to say bad things about somebody else. Okay? It happens a lot. Now, you probably, if you had to take a notepad and write it down, there's probably at least a dozen times a day where you are tempted, or the case comes up where you are tempted to say something harsh and bad about someone else when you need to say something gentle about them, like, I need to pray for them, and so on and so forth. Paul in 1 Timothy 3:3 speaks concerning the qualifications of an elder, that they should not be given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. And in 2 Timothy 2:24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and be patient. Although these verses are primarily directed at ministers and teachers of the word, they are no means exclusive or just applied to them. Instead, these verses are applicable to all Christians, for all profess to be servants of the Lord. So if you ever want to teach or counsel people and hope that people will receive what you say, don't pick a fight with your words. However, sometimes people will respond harshly to the word of God, even when presented in gentleness, but we still need to respond in meekness when it's not received well. There's no sense provoking people unnecessarily so that there's no chance of them even receiving the word of God that you're trying to give to them. This is shown in Paul's address to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2:7. It says, concerning the gospel that was brought to them in all meekness, it says, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. But we were gentle among you means instead of using their authority, Paul and Timothy used only the most kind and gentle methods to win them over and to promote peace and order. The word here rendered nurse may mean anyone who nurses a child, whether a mother or another person. It seems here to refer to a mother. The idea is that the apostle felt for them the affectionate feeling which a mother does for a child when they nurse their child. A feeling I have to admit I have not had, nor desire to have, but I've had the feeling of great love when holding my own babies in my arm. It's the kind of gentleness Paul is talking about. It's the gentleness we ought to have when we teach others. So what are we to do as Christians? Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:10 through 11, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. One of the things we ought to pursue is gentleness. Gentleness works peace. Being a shrewd and tough businessman or a woman is not a virtue for a Christian when it comes down and mixed with the love of money. The love of money will only produce sorrows in this life, while the pursuit of gentleness will produce peace in your life. So if many of you have trouble with stress and these kinds of things, and you're hung up about finances and so forth, then seek a life of gentleness, okay? And this will produce peace in your life. Living a meek life before God and man will produce the kind of peace and contentment that only God can give. This is one of the benefits of being a Christian. Others do not have that benefit. They cannot find true peace. But we can, as long as we practice gentleness in our lives, especially towards others. Okay? So that is yours to possess and yours to have and keep. Jesus says in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Christ was the very model of meekness. It was one of his characteristics. He says of himself, I am meek, Matthew 11:29. Paul says this of himself as well. No men bore more than they did on this earth, as far as pain, as far as abuse, as far as suffering. Of course, Christ, the ultimate example, but many of the apostles, of course, were martyred, except for John. Yet they were not spiteful in return to either God or man. They bore it patiently. They did not harbor malice. They did not let a root of bitterness grow. They did not press their rights through thick and thin and trample down the rights of others to secure their own. The phrase, they shall inherit the earth, in the same sense, in the time of our Savior, the New Testament writers were in the constant habit of using the Old Testament, where this promise perpetually occurs, and they used it as a proverbial expression to denote any great blessing, perhaps as the sum of all blessings, the phrase, they shall inherit the earth. This is found in Psalm 37 and Isaiah 60. Our Savior used it in this sense and meant to say, not that the meek should own great property or have many lands if they're going to inherit the earth, but that they should possess special blessings, special spiritual blessings. The Jews also considered the land of Canaan as a type of heaven and of the blessings under the Messiah. So to inherit the land became, therefore, an expression denoting those blessings. The meek shall inherit the earth. So when our Savior promises, when he promises it here, he means that the meek shall be received into his kingdom and partake of its blessings here and all of the glories of heaven hereafter. So we find that meekness produces peace. It's proof of true greatness of soul. It comes from a heart too great to be moved by little insults. It looks upon those who offer them with pity, that is, those insults. He or she that is constantly upset, that throws a tantrum at every little insult or injury, and to raise a storm of passion and anger within, is at the mercy of everyone that chooses to disturb him or her. That's a terrible place to be, where everyone can just yank you around any way that they want because you have not been able to master being meek. Is this your attitude today? Is there a lack of gentleness in your life and how you treat your brother or sister or your father or your mother or your brother and sister in Christ? Is there a lack of meekness in your life when you are mistreated? Do you want to get them back? How often we fail in this area, yet that doesn't mean we shouldn't succeed in this area, right? And we should strive to succeed in this area. We settle for so little in our Christian walk. Why? Because some things are hard, you know, and we want the easy way out. And yet this life, as we go through it, we are to be sanctified by God and the Holy Spirit within us. And that doesn't mean we just kick back and let that work be done, but it requires active effort on our part. And to work at those things, okay? So we accept less of ourselves and more of others because it's easy. To be gentle and respond in meekness takes hard work. It may seem on the outside like that person is weak because they're meek, okay? But it just takes hard work. Yet the blessings and the growth in your spiritual life will far exceed the work that it takes. If you have not accepted Christ, then to be truly gentle and meek, like Christ, will be impossible. No one can truly be meek unless they have accepted Christ in their life. Okay? So in conclusion, what are some practical things to do on your pursuit and practice of gentleness and weakness? And so the first one, if you haven't figured it out already, if you haven't accepted Christ, you need to accept Christ in your life. Otherwise, you have no chance to ever be meek, and you'll have no chance ever to have peace. Okay? So once you have Christ inside of you and you have repented and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and want to follow him and make him Lord of your life, then you can start working seriously on being meek. So first of all, decide that these are traits, being meek and being gentle, that you really want to have. Decide that you want to deal with others gently and respond in meekness. Decide that you really care and want to put others before yourselves and put it on your prayer list. A lot of times we need to put things on our prayer list to remind us, and our prayer list grows. And so gentleness and meekness is one of those things that we need to remind ourselves of every day. Ask the Holy Spirit to make you aware of specific situations in which we fail to act with gentleness or concern for others, and also when we fail to exhibit meekness. Be sensitive to the feelings of others. More importantly, be sensitive to the leading and prompting of the Holy Spirit. Only when we realize our failures in these areas will we begin to prayerfully seek God's guidance and strength in these areas. So ask the Holy Spirit to point those things out to you. You may be doing things you don't even recognize in the way that you talk to your spouse or to your kids or your parents or whatever. Pray the Holy Spirit points those out so you know what those are and you can work on them. Okay? Because we need to have peace in our relationships with one another. Number three, memorize and meditate on Scripture. And meditating on Scripture does an amazing work in our lives. The following Scriptures are some to start with that I have spoken of tonight. And if you want a copy of this and a copy of these Scriptures, come see me and I will make one for you. Be glad to. We have a copier machine just behind this wall, and it's easy to do. So these are the Scriptures that I think were very pertinent in tonight's teaching on gentleness and meekness. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith ye were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, so we were called. And we were called, and we were called to be meek, and we need to be long-suffering and to forbear one another in love. And meekness is all part of that. Philippians 4, 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Okay? So it's not just Christians, but let it be known to all men everywhere because the Lord is at hand. The Lord will judge. You don't need to worry about how they respond to you. But you do need to worry about how you respond to them. And it needs to be meek, no matter who it is, Christians or otherwise. Titus 3, 1 through 2, put them in mind to be in subjection to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready unto every good work, to speak evil of no man, not to be contentious, to be gentle, showing all meekness towards men. And so we need to, by being obedient to the word, we need to speak evil and act in no evil way towards anyone. And the speaking evil one seems to be a hard one. Of course, we're not beating up on people physically, but man, boy, the tongue can be something else, can it not? So these are the things that these three verses I'd like you to remember if you'd like to do a study on that. And once again, gentleness is the way that we act towards others and speak to others, and meekness is the way that we respond. And it's one of the things that's just easy for me to remember in my head. So that's the word for tonight, and I'm gracious to bring that to you this time. And if you have any questions, of course, I'm here to pray with people as well. And if you would like to accept Christ or just pray about anything else, of course, I'll be up here to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we just praise you, Lord, for your word that you've given us. Just praise you for the opportunity I have tonight just to bring your word again and on the topic of gentleness and meekness, Lord. And there's just so much there to be learned from you, from your example in Scripture, Lord. And I just pray that the hearers of the word tonight would seek that and investigate that for themselves, Lord, and truly come to you, Lord, and ask for your help and your forgiveness if needed in their lives, Lord, where they haven't been gentle and they haven't been meek, Lord. And we know we can only do that with your help, Lord, as Christians, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, Lord. And so we would just pray that we would be a witness to all men in how we act towards each other, not just brothers and sisters in Christ, of course, but those in our family, even those that are not saved, Lord. We just pray that that witness would speak just tons, Lord, and that they might come to us and ask us about that gentleness and that meekness that they see in our life that has led to the peace that only we can have, Lord. And so we just thank you ahead of time for the blessings that you've provided to us, Lord, and that you are a gentle teacher to us, Lord, in times where we fail to be gentle and to be meek, Lord. And so we just thank you for the grace that you provided into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.